There's no reason why that couldn't be your story.
You don't have an expiration date.
Oh, I love that. This is the Authors and Agents Podcast.
Wonderful, Joanna. I'm so excited to have you here with me today. I cannot wait to hear you talk about Something Better and your journey through publishing. So start off by telling me about your book.
Sure, absolutely. I will hold it up here. I have Something Better, my pretty baby here. this is my debut women's fiction novel. It came out in June of this year from Blue Ink Press. And I like to say that it is a coming of middle age tale about love, family, and the dangers of attending your high school reunion.
Yes, there are definite dangers with that, isn't there? So how exciting to have your debut come out into the world. Tell me what your journey looked like to this point.
Sure. So it's funny. I always think of myself as, you know, Marlin in Finding Nemo, when he's like, we go out and we go back in. We go
right
and come back. That was me. That was me on my journey. So it's funny because growing up, I did not want to be an author. I was going to be an actress. So I loved to read and I loved to write, but it was always in my head, what I was looking at wasn't characters or stories I wanted to write. It was characters I was going to play. I actually went to school for acting briefly before I realized that that was a hobby for me and not a calling. and then switched gears. And then fast forward about 25 years, and I started thinking seriously about writing a book. I tried briefly in the 90s when Bridget Jones came out, Chick Lit, when Chick Lit kind of became a big thing. I thought, oh, I could write Chick Lit. So I started a very, you know, ill-advised book that, thank God, never saw the light of day. and then in 2010, I did National Novel Writing Month just for fun and wrote a YA novel then and thought, oh, maybe this could be something. And then my kids were little, and so I put it away for another 8 years.
Yeah.
You know, work, kids, family, life, moving, all of that. So then we finally got, I got serious about it in 2017, 2018. We had moved to North Carolina, which I did not realize when we moved is a huge, like, writing state.
Oh, I didn't know that either.
Lots of local authors, lots of writing groups, lots of indie bookstores. It's a great place for writers. And so I started sort of, you know, going out and coming back in. Like, I joined a few groups and I went to some workshops and I did a few things. And I even started querying my YA manuscript from 2010 a little bit after a polish and, you know, a cleanup. And it was a little bit not the right thing. And I wasn't quite ready at the time. So I thought, you know what? Okay, this isn't it for me. I thought, you know, writing YA doesn't feel right to me. I always thought I'd be a YA author, but this is clearly a side quest and not like my journey. So I put it aside and decided, okay, I'm going to write for adults, but I still wanted to do something that was close to YA, which is what I love so much. So I wanted to write something about adults and some of the themes that I like about YA. So I was looking at, like, the emotional journey, coming of middle age versus coming of age. How are they different? How are they the same?
Right.
And that's when I realized through working with a writing coach that I was writing women's fiction, which I had never heard of.
So, there you go.
Didn't know it was thing. So I got really involved with the Women's Fiction Writers Association. I joined them and I thought, okay, you know, I'm going to just do this over the next couple years. I'm working. I'll work with a writing coach and I'll write something over the next couple of years. Well, that was in December of 2019. And of course, in March, I suddenly had nothing else to do. So
there you go.
So, perfect. Yeah. So by June, I had a first draft. And by November of that year, I was querying.
This was
Something Better. I decided, I was like, okay, this became my quarantine pandemic way to kind of keep myself centered and feeling like I was doing something for me in the midst of, you know,
yeah,
everything else that was going on. So, yeah, so all told, it took about 3 years. So I started writing in 2020. I started querying November of 2020, queried till December of 2021, querying for agents. Got a few requests for fulls, got some very nice detailed feedback, but nothing came of it. And at that point, I thought, okay, I'm going to stop with this. I've got another manuscript I'd started. I was like, maybe the second one. All right, we'll try again. And a writer friend actually over the holidays reached out and said, you know, I'd love to read your manuscript. And because I'd been talking a little bit about it on social media, and she was so encouraging. I sent it to her and she read it and she was so encouraging. She encouraged me, just try it one more time. So I went back out in March of 2020, this time focusing on smaller publishers that would accept unsolicited manuscripts or unaged manuscripts. And that's when I found Blue Ink, who is actually a North Carolina based publisher, traditional publisher.
Well, look at that.
Yeah. And I'd heard of them, but I always thought like, oh gosh, they're smaller. They'll never take me. So it just, you know, it's one of those things like don't sell yourself short. You can try.
So. No, I love it. Yeah. So you had a long querying journey. I love that you had that friend who motivated you, helped give you a little push to not give up. Right. Mm-hmm. So what would your, looking back on your own querying journey, what would like your top tip be besides maybe just don't give up?
No, my top tip is it is a long journey. And I think, you know, most of us who, you know, I think most people, it's a long journey. You know, you hear the great stories about, I submitted three times, you know, but mostly, it's going to be a long drawn out process. And my biggest tip is take notes, be very meticulous and write everything down in a very organized fashion. I had actually started a spreadsheet for all my querying and I was very conscientious about when I got a response when I sent a query, I logged it. If I got a response, I logged it. I dated it. I noted which version I'd sent them. I noted what their feedback was. I really made sure I kept detailed notes because it does start to blend together after a while and you can't remember. Oh, yeah. You're like, I mean, when you're into 60, 70 queries, you're like, did I talk to them already? I don't remember. What did they say? Yeah. And the last thing you want to do is, you know, whiff it right out the bat by, you know, sending something to someone you've already sent them.
Definitely important to be organized in the querying process. I love that you have a spreadsheet. I live and die by most spreadsheets. Query Tracker is a website that is really great for that sort of thing too. But I like that you kept what they said to you too, which is always really helpful.
I liked Query Tracker. I started there, but I ended up using my own just through Excel because I wanted to be able to manipulate the data.
Yeah.
I wanted to, like I have, you know, phases of who I, you know, I had my tier one, my tier two, my tier threes. I had color coding for where I was in the query process with them. I'm very visual. To know.
Yes, there's so much you can do in Excel too. Yeah. Right, there's endless possibilities. I love it. So I have a two-part question for you. I'd love to know what has been your favorite part of your publishing journey and then your least favorite part.
All right, I actually wrote this down because I was like, okay. So it is funny with the publishing journey. I think every phase sort of had its delights and its challenges, especially as a debut, because I didn't know what I didn't know until someone, you know, pointed it out to me. But I think my favorite part was when I got to hold my paper proof. The whole thing, once you sign the contract, I mean, it's all up, you know, it's just all a win from there. But like the minute I got to hold my little, I even keep it, my little paper proof. She's all battered and marked up. But
I love it.
But that was really exciting. It was like when you get engaged and you're doing this all day long. I'd be doing something. I'd be like, you know.
Look at her. Look at her. She's so pretty.
Yes. So that was a really exciting day. And then the thing I liked least about publishing was the overwhelm with the marketing and social media side of it. I got overwhelmed. I think there's a lot of pressure. You feel like you have to do everything, you know, perfectly right away. And I got very overwhelmed and very anxious about it. And I actually did end up hiring like a marketing coach to help me with a social media plan, because I didn't know what to do. And I got nervous and I didn't know. I didn't know how to sell myself as a, you know, an author or sell my book. So,
I mean, there's social media is such a big mystery to most of us, right? Like everything's always changing. You're never quite sure if you're doing it right or not. So I think a lot of authors feel you on that too. I've talked to a lot who are like the promo, the marketing, because it is a lot on the author. I mean, if you have publicists and that who help you are amazing. Mm-hmm. So we love them. But a lot of it is left on the author's shoulders too, right? Mm-hmm. And that is a lot of pressure.
Mm-hmm. Well, it is. It's one of those things. I didn't realize this isn't just about publishing, but just as being an author, you don't realize, like, I never wanted to be a small business owner, but when you're an author, you're a small business. You are the employee, you are the product, you are creative, the finance department. Like, and I really, that was hard to realize that I had to kind of switch out of just writing the words and doing the things.
Yep.
And now I had to get more focused with it. It was challenging.
Well, yeah, it's definitely hard. My husband and I were just talking about this when you take something you love that's just a hobby and you commercialize it, right? There's so much that goes into that that you don't realize before you take that jump. Mm-hmm. So talking about your writing style, how you draft. Mm-hmm. So are you someone who like needs an in-depth outline and you stick to your outline, or do you just kind of like write whatever you feel? What does that look like for you?
So it's funny because I actually used to be an organizer in a past career. I was a professional organizer for a number of years.
That wouldn't surprise me, I feel like.
Yeah, you see all my sticky notes back here. That kind of thing.
Uh-huh. Yeah.
But I am an absolute pantser when it comes to my first draft.
Okay.
Like I said, the first time I ever wrote a book, like start to finish, a manuscript start to finish, was NaNoWriMo in 2010. And I actually really loved there's structure, but not with that. It's just sit down, write your word count every day. Don't go back and edit. Just write. And I know some people plan out what they're going to write every day, but I liked the adrenaline of just sitting down and writing every day. And so I've kind of stuck with that. So when I don't make a plan before I decide to write a first draft. I have sort of an idea of what, you know, usually I know what the beginning's going to be and the end's going to be, and the rest I kind of think's
fill in along the way.
It'll show up somewhere. So
it ends up on the page somehow.
You know, it's there somewhere. So I like the energy of that first draft. And then I actually heard Sayward B. Eller call it being a revision writer, that you do a lot of writing in the revisions. And so I think that's actually what I am. So I'm a pantser at first, and then I become a revision writer. And each subsequent revision, you know, I hone in on an issue, I fill in the holes, or maybe I'll do a revision that's based on, okay, I have to beef up this theme. So I do just that.
Right.
And in the three manuscripts I've written now, they have each taken six drafts. So apparently that's my number.
That's your number. That's what you need to do.
Yeah. I'm fine with that. That's not bad.
No, you know, what I like about this question is that there's a different style for everybody, right? Like, I think we're told for so long in school, like, this is how you write. Mm-hmm. This is what a story, you know, it has to be outlined and then this and this and this. But everybody's got a little bit of a different way. And as long as you get the words on the page and it works for you and your process, I think that that's great. Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah.
I liked when I worked, my writing coach, Charlotte Rains Dixon, gave me this piece of advice one time. It was such a like mind-opening thing for me. She said, you know, you can act as if when you're writing, like act as if you have it figured out and just start from there. And And I think we do sort of forget when you're writing and you're spending all your time in this world that it's not actually real, that you know what? I can.
Don't say that, okay?
You
don't
know.
Say that.
You know, I can't. Okay, I don't have this problem in chapter two figured out, but I can write chapter three like I figured out chapter two. Like you can.
Yep.
There's a little bit of play you can. It's absolutely real. It's all real.
But it's all real. Everything is real.
Yeah, just that idea that you can kind of just, you know, just pick up an improv from the point where you're feeling it again and it'll all work out.
Yeah. Yeah, that is good advice. Mm-hmm. So tell me something that your readers wouldn't necessarily know about you.
All right. I had to think about this one. I feel like I overshare a lot. So I had to really think. But you know what it is secretly, I really don't like journaling.
Ooh.
I have tried. I don't like it.
I'm the worst at journaling. The worst.
Yes. And I know so many writers who I love and respect their opinions, and they write so wonderfully, and they talk about journaling as the key, and I just can't do it. I would avoid writing if I had to journal first every day.
Oh, yeah.
So yeah. I finally have just given up. I'm like, okay, this thing is clearly not for me. But yeah, I'm not a journaler.
Not a journaler. And that is okay. You're still valid. You don't need to be a journaler.
It's just funny. It's so funny when everybody's like, oh, do you write every day? No.
Nope. So talking about writing and writing every day, how, when you're drafting or revising, like how many hours do you spend, or how much time do you spend writing? Mm-hmm.
I have been, experimenting with that quite a bit since in 2020, I had a pretty good routine. I was writing most mornings and then, doing other stuff with family in the afternoon. Once school kicked back in and we had, you know, people were out of the house again, I flip-flopped it and did mornings. I would, you know, work on house stuff and run errands and that kind of thing. And then I'd write in the afternoon. And then once I actually went under contract, I switched it again and I started doing days, like themed days. Like Monday was writing, Tuesday was social media, Wednesday was administration, you know, that kind of thing. So I really don't have a schedule right now. When I am writing, when I'm working on a manuscript, I tend to average about 3 hours a day. And I try, to do it in a block, either in the morning or the afternoon. I still haven't landed on which one's better. Like,
well, it seems like you would just need to, whichever one works for the season you're in, right?
Yeah. I know morning is, it's easier to get your priority done in the morning. So sometimes sometimes I'm working on that. But then, I don't know, for me, like 1 to 4 in the afternoon seems a little bit, maybe because I've eaten more or something. I'm fed.
Yes, you're happy.
Yeah. But about 3 hours a day at some point when I'm trying to get words on a page.
Okay. That is a good amount of time. I remember when I used to not have children and I would write that much time. But now with small children, I'm like, I write on my phone just in little snippets, or like when I'm putting the baby to bed, you know, that sort of thing.
Yes, it does help when they're a little older. So mine are, one is in high school and one is actually leaving for college in a couple of days. And so.
Oh, wow. I think I saw that.
Yeah.
I saw that on your social media.
Yeah. I have more time coming up than I'm like, I've not had this much time in 18 years. Who knows?
Yeah. So you're going to have so much to write.
Right. Yeah.
So writing is, you know, whether you're writing something happy or something dramatic, right? It can be like, it can be draining. It can be stressful to just like use up that much creativeness out of your well, right? So do you have any tips for other writers? Like when you've maybe felt burned out or just like sick of writing, what is something that you've done that helped you?
So my biggest tip is to find your people. I talked a little bit before about my friend Jen, who really encouraged me, and my writing coach, Charlotte. It's hard to find your people. Like you say find your people and it sounds simple, and it isn't.
Right.
It's really hard to find writers that you connect with that, you know, feel like home, feel like somebody, because writing is so emotionally close to you. You have to find people that you feel comfortable like sharing that piece of you. So for me, it really, I tried a few meetup groups. I did some, you know, meetups at libraries. Like I went to library programs. I went to author events. I joined a couple of professional associations to, you know, for a brief membership time to see if those were my people. But where mm-hmm. I really landed was the Women's Fiction Writers Association, because that was my genre. And so I already knew we had that in common. And then I also found writing challenges on Instagram. Instagram is kind of my favorite place, but I started looking for writing challenges to participate in. You know, if they're a couple of weeks long or a month long, you get to know this group of people and you have prompts every day. So it kind of helps solve the, what do I post about today? But you get to know other writers, you get to know what people are working on, you get to see people's feedback about things you might be struggling with. And that's really where I found my community. And I felt like once I found those people, my whole energy about writing changed. And that's when things really started to move forward. So that's my biggest tip for people. If you're looking, check out like, Writer Friends Challenge, hashtag Writer Friends Challenge is a good one. There's a lot of them out there. You can just even, you know, search hashtag writing challenges.
Right. I love that. I think that's such great advice because, you know, we all have our family members who we love and who love us, but maybe don't understand necessarily writing or the drain that comes with it, right? So it is good to have people who know and understand, and you can just be like, I am stuck or I'm frustrated, and they understand it, right?
Yeah, exactly. And two, you know, it gives your family members a break because they do love and support you, but there is that time where you're like, okay, I just have to talk about this again, and you could see them glaze, and you're like, sorry, but really.
Yep. But I need to talk about it with somebody.
And it's a really great way to kind of, you know, workshop too, because the first writing challenge I tried out something better in was a soundtrack challenge where every day you posted a little snippet of your work in progress and a song that you felt was playing with it. And that was really fun to kind of see how.
That's super fun.
Yeah. You know, you can kind of see how people react and you kind of get some feedback without, you know, having to put the whole book out there.
Yeah, that's awesome. Well, thank you for sharing that tip. I only have a couple questions left for you. They're fun questions. They're easy. Okay. How many bookshelves do you have in your house?
Okay, so I think we have six.
Okay.
We have one in every bedroom and then one in my office. And I think we have two in my daughter has two right now. So, so we have six. Now, this does not count the boxes upon boxes of children's books that are in the storage space because I cannot bear to part with them. So
it's so hard to get rid of books. I can't get rid of anything else, like toys or furniture or anything else. But I'm like, books, I can't let them go.
I know. We got rid of so many books when we moved from Colorado to North Carolina in 2015. I got rid of so many. I think we had at first when I boxed them up something like 35 to 40 boxes of books. And I was like, I cannot take all of these. And so I weeded them down. And now that kind of hurt my heart. So I'm building back up again. But
yes, you are. The books are in good hands, I'm sure,
that's right.
with somebody else.
That's right.
They are. Mm-hmm. That's what we have to believe.
That's right.
So I'm going to ask you a question that I didn't have on my list. But so what's next for you? Are you working on querying again, or are you still with Blue Ink Press? Mm-hmm. What's your future look like?
Sure. So I am finishing up. I'm going to, in September, September aside, I'm going to finish up edits on my next women's fiction manuscript, which is Welcome to Blooms. And it's a more of a family comedy about a brother and sister who have been estranged, but they have to come together and work together to save the family flower shop.
Oh, I love
it. So that's my next project. And I am going to go out. I'm going to go back out to query and look for an agent because I am unagented at this point. So, and then we'll see where that takes me from there. So,
yeah.
And I might do NaNoWriMo too. So,
There you go. We send you our love and very good thoughts in querying because it's you know, as you know, it's quite a journey.
It's rough out there. Yeah, I have a funny little side story. So, because I'm old school. So this was my first, when I queried the first time, my 2018.
Oh, there you go.
So I have to get, yeah, it's been a while. So I have to get my new book, but that was how I did it the first time.
Well, there you are. That's awesome. Well, I'm excited to see what's next. And eventually I'm sure we'll see Welcome to Bloom in real book form, right?
So let's hope so.
Awesome. Well, Joanna, I just have one question left for you. I'd love to know what your favorite book is right now. This is not your favorite book of all time, not the best book ever. Just something you've read recently that you really want people to know about.
Oh my gosh. Is Wrong Place, Wrong Time by Jillian McAllister. And okay. Oh my gosh. It was one of those books that you start and are not prepared for. Like, it just, I love a mystery. I love a thriller. And this is a time loop, and I love a time loop. But there's a bit of a twist in that she is going back in time. Like, that she, yeah. And she has this mystery that she has to solve. And every time she doesn't solve it, she wakes up further in the past. And
oh, I love that.
It's so good. I've recommended it to so many people. And what I really liked about it was it had this real emotional punch to it that I wasn't expecting in a mystery, because the mystery has to do with her son. And as she's solving it, she's going back in time and he's getting younger and younger. And right? Like your mama heart?
No, I have two boys. I can't.
Yes. So
it's going to hit me right here.
Oh my gosh. It was kind of like the Barbie movie. Like, I was not expecting the emotional, you know, resonance of the book, but I loved it. So that's my favorite book right now, but I will recommend to anyone who's looking for a book.
Okay. Well, I'm excited to add that one to my list, because that sounds like everything I love. I'm querying right now as well.
Oh, good one.
A YA time, it has a time loop as well. And so I'm a sucker for a time loop.
Oh my gosh, you're speaking my language. We need to talk.
Okay, we will. Well, Joanna, thank you so much. This has been a blast. I'm so excited for everybody to, you know, go out there and buy Something Better, which has been out since June. So everybody get on it and give Joanna some love as she enters a new season of querying.
Thank you so much. This was wonderful. Thank you for having me.